First podcast with Reverend Eleanor Colvin, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go.
Come on, y'all. It's all in the
please join us for a word of prayer.
Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Lord, awesome God, we give you thanks for the gift of this day. God, we give you thanks for your goodness and your mercy toward us. God, you have been better to us than we have been to ourselves. You blessed us more than we deserve, but that's just who you are. That's just how you are. Your word says that your love is steadfast, that it endures throughout the generations. And God, we thank you this day that we are among those generations that know just how good you are, that know just how merciful you are. Thank you, Lord God, for being God all by yourself. Thank you, Lord God, for choosing us, for calling us to be your people, to be your people. That meant that you were gonna do all the hard work. You were gonna do all the way making, all the miracle working, all the promise keeping. So we thank you, Lord God, for choosing to be our God and calling us to be your people. God, show us today what it means for us to be your people. Show us how you want us to love. Show us how you want us to lead. Show us how you want us to help, how you want us to serve, how you want us to give. Show us, Lord God, how you want us to look like you, to be like you in this world. Folks don't need to see a burning bush. They can look at us on fire for you in this world. Teach us, God. Teach us, God. Empower us to follow your ways. Empower us to do your will so that someone might come to know you. So that someone might come to know you. So that your name might be glorified in all the earth, oh God. God, we come laying our burdens, our concerns before you. We come laying grief before you. We come laying disappointment before you, illness before you, anxiety before you, Lord God, fear before you. We lay all that at your altar, God, and we trust that your word is true, that even as we speak, even as we pray, you are answering. God, so thank you for those answers that are on the way. Thank you for those angels that are on the way to answer. God, thank you for calling us to be those angels who just might be the answer to someone else's prayer. God, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of the day. And we'll praise you. We'll praise you. We'll praise you from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. You're worthy, Lord God. And so we honor you this day. And all who agree, all who love the Lord, said, amen, amen, amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Yeah. The Bible says, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Now let's join Pastor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
I wonder if there's anybody who knows that sometimes you have to praise God in advance, the song says. That's what you're doing when you're encouraging yourself, praising God for what you know is possible, even if you've not yet seen it. We're gonna read scripture today, hear the story of somebody who, this was probably her theme song, this was probably her anthem. And as she was on the way to see Jesus, she might have been singing this the whole way. Encourage yourself. Speak over yourself. I invite you to stand, if you're able, for the reading of God's word. We're reading today from Mark, the 7th chapter. Mark, the 7th chapter, verse 24. That's where we'll begin. Mark 7, verse 24. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman who was encouraging herself, y'all, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit, came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying in the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to the heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were open and his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute to speak." Friends, I have one more verse that I want to add for our hearing today. It is John the fifth chapter. And one verse only, verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Lord God, we thank you that we know you as a healer. God, we thank you that nothing is impossible for you, oh God. And so speak to us. Your servants are listening. Surely there's something in us that needs to be restored, that might need to be made well, some old hurt that still needs healing. Lord God, speak to your people. Would you rightly divide this word so that it gives every soul listening what they need to hear this day. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of every heart gathered here is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. It's in the name, the mighty and matchless name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Do you want to be made well? The question seems like a no-brainer, an obvious yes. In the midst of a pandemic, it's hard for us to think about anything other than health and wholeness. Do you want to be made well? Does a COVID patient want to be free from their ventilator? Yes. Do cancer patients or those who are immune compromised want to stop social distancing from their own families? Yes. Do you want to be made well? Jesus asked this question of the paralyzed man who had been laying near healing waters, but still didn't have his healing. He'd been laying there for 38 years when Jesus came upon him and he said, "Do you want to be made well?" Perhaps the unspoken question, the underlying question was, what are you willing to do to be made well? What are you willing to risk? Friends, we get a glimpse of the extreme that some people are willing to go to for the sake of wellness in these verses that we just read about the Syrophoenician woman. She came to Jesus seeking healing for her daughter. She so desperately wanted this healing, not for herself, for her child, that she risked public humiliation. She risked rejection, all for the possibility of healing, to be made well. She abandoned all sense of decorum, coming into a space that she wasn't invited to, kneeling before Jesus. She probably offered up what some folks would call an undignified praise. She got the Lord's attention all because she wanted her household to be made well. She may have learned as a child the same prayer that many of us learn to pray as we approach God's table for communion. That prayer of humble access, the old version of it says, "We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold," "in thy manifold and great mercies. We're not worthy, Lord, to get so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. But thou art the same, Lord, whose property, whose character, whose nature, whose way of being. You are a God whose property is always to have mercy." This prayer of humble access may have been on the lips of that Syrophoenician woman in her heart as she humbled herself before Jesus for the sake of her daughter. We know she didn't come to the table trusting in her own righteousness. She had a record, y'all. She knew that her access was limited because she was a woman. She was a Gentile. She had a daughter, because a daughter is no good in this society. She had a daughter, and beyond that, a daughter who is sick. As women, as a woman, we already know that she didn't have standing in society, right? She had no status apart from the men in her life, her father, her brother, her child even. A man was necessary for her to have value and voice. A man was necessary for her to have protection and an advocate. So her coming to Jesus on behalf of her daughter is nothing like that scripture we read about Jairus, a powerful man coming to Jesus for the sake of his daughter. A woman pleading her own case was problematic enough, but this was a Syrophoenician woman, a Canaanite. The Canaanites were culturally and ethnically mixed people, biracial, we might say, bicultural. And the children of Israel, who were considered God's chosen, well, they could live among them. We could be in the same neighborhood together. But the commandment said, don't mix with them, don't marry with them, don't pick up their practices and their ways of being. So they were social distancing, if you will. The Canaanites today might be anyone that the society sees as other, anyone different, anyone not the norm. Maybe they would be undocumented immigrants. Maybe they would be Muslims or addicts or people who are homeless, or in today's day, this week, they might be refugees from Afghanistan. Anyone who is discriminated against on sight is Canaanite. She could not presume to come to that table trusting in her righteousness, her rightness, because everything about her, society said, was wrong. I wonder if you've ever felt like a misfit, if you've ever felt like everything was wrong and nothing was right, like you were in a space where you didn't belong. She had a long list of things that could have kept her from coming to Christ, but I praise God that she wasn't like some of us who say, well, I'm gonna go to church when I get myself together. Well, I'm gonna serve, I'm gonna lead when I stop X, Y, Z. She wasn't like that. She knew better than to trust in her own righteousness to get herself right. And she got to the table. She put her full faith in God's manifold and great mercies. I wonder where we're putting our full faith today. She put her full faith in the fact that what he'd done for others, he would do for her. She didn't come trusting in her own goodness and worthiness, but in Christ's goodness and worthiness. She might have been singing that, Lord, you are good. You've been so good. You've been better than good to me. She might have had that on her lips as she approached him. She probably practiced her speech all the way. I'm not worthy to have you come in my home. I know I'm a Canaanite. I know Jews don't fellowship with us. I know you go out of your way. You walk extra miles to avoid us. I know you don't think I'm as good as you are. And then that chorus of encourage herself kicked in. And she said, but just speak the word and my daughter will be healed. I know I don't get a seat at your table because I'm not an Israelite. I don't presume to interrupt your meal, to come to your table because I'm good, but because I've heard you are good. That's why I'm here. Friends, I wonder, what have you heard about the Lord today that speaks to your situation? What have you heard about him? And is there anything in your life that could use a touch from him? Anything that needs healing, that could be restored? What have you heard about him that would make you take a risk for the sake of restoration? What have you heard about him that would make you pursue him with great faith and put your full faith in him? Faith that reaches out for the hem of his garment, not taking hold of the whole cloak, just the crumbs, if you will. Faith that will feast on the scraps after he has fed a multitude of 5,000. Faith that will even make you wrestle with them for your blessing, like Jacob wrestled with the angel of God. I stop by to tell you today that even those who are blessed and highly favored have to wrestle sometimes. Even those who believe that they receive and are too blessed to be stressed, even they have to wrestle sometimes. Even the folks who can quote you from Genesis to Revelation and back again, they have to wrestle. That might be how they learn the word. Even those of us who are standing on the promises of God have to wrestle sometimes. I wonder if you are willing to put in work for your blessing today, or are you just going to sit on your mat? John 5 tells us of a man that has sat near the healing waters, near the waters at the pool of Bethesda or Bethsaida, some versions will say. He was there for 38 years. Years. 38 of them. He was waiting for 38 of them. Let's be clear. He was at the church. This is the church, y'all, the place of healing, the place of restoration where these waters are. For 38 years, he was right there, but still not getting what God had for him. He was right there, still waiting on someone else to do his discipleship work, waiting for someone else to put him in the pool so that he might be made whole. So when Jesus approaches him, he simply asks, "Do you want to be made well?" I imagine God looks at some of us that way, like, it ain't no way you still struggling with that same thing. It's no way you still praying that same prayer. We talking about that. You still letting that weigh you down? You still letting that paralyze you and keep you right here? You still letting that stand between you and abundant life? Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well in your mind, in your body, in your spirit, in your relationships? Do you want to be made well in your finances even? Is there anything in your life that could use a restorative touch from the one who knows all about resurrecting dead things, from the one who knows all about healing and putting back together broken things? Do we want to be made well, church? Or do we want to keep complaining about what someone else did to us, what someone else didn't do for us, like the man at the pool? Do we want to be made well as a church? I'll get out of your house for now and just talk about the church house. Do we want to be made well as a church? Or do we want to just sit on our mats, sit in our favorite pews for 1 or 2 hours on a Sunday morning and then forget about being the church all week long? As a church, are we healed? Are we whole so that we might lead the world, lead others to be healed or whole? Do we want to be made well so much that we would gather up the crumbs under God's table, feast on them, and then feed them to someone else? The crumbs. This Syrophoenician woman didn't come seeking his platter of plenty. She didn't come for all of the abundance available. She just came with a little crummy faith, if you will. We're not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. But thou art the same Lord whose way of being is to always have mercy. Friends, this is a hard text for a lot of people because Jesus' response doesn't sound all that merciful. It's not right to take food from the children, he says, and give it to the dogs. Now let's keep it real. It would not take too long for some of us to flip from humble to outrage, for some of us to go from holy to hood real quick. I feel my neck snapping in position. What you call me? I don't care who you healed in these streets. I know you didn't just call me a dog. It wouldn't take long for some of us to flip like that. But this nameless, courageous, desperate, faithful, bold woman, she humbled herself even more. She said, "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Friends, do we want to be made well so much, well enough that we would pray and pray again? Do we want to be made well so much that we would wait and wait some more, that we would wrestle for this blessing? In Bible study a couple of weeks ago, Rose brought up the song, "I Don't Mind Waiting." I said, "I can't stand that song." Because some days I mind waiting. I really mind. And every time they start singing it, I'm like, I'm mind waiting. But by the time we get to the end of it, I'm like, "I'll wait, Lord. I'll wait on you." Are we willing to wait and wait some more when Jesus is not responding the way we want him to? If I was honest, I'd have to say that I don't want to preach about Christ's rejection. I don't want to preach about Jesus taking his time or Jesus calling this woman a dog, even figuratively, even as a teaching moment. I don't want to think about that. It's a lot. And the more we explore it, the more the answers we come to might make us uncomfortable. We might realize that God isn't going to always answer the way we want God to answer. Amen. Or even worse than that, sometimes God don't turn you an answer at all. You don't hear me, Lord? Friends, has God ever taken God's time answering your prayers? Have you ever interpreted God's delay as a denial? Have you ever assumed that the answer was no because the yes didn't come as quick as you wanted it to? I wonder if there's something you are still praying for without ceasing. I wonder if we have that great faith to wait like that Syrophoenician woman. Can you believe like her that no matter what it looks like, God's got a blessing with your name on it? That no matter what it looks like, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love him? Do our ears need to be open today, like that deaf, mute man Jesus healed after he filled this sister with crumbs? The text says Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears. Well, first of all, it said it took after he took him away from the crowd. He put his fingers in his ears. And I imagine he was blocking out the noise of the crowd, blocking out the noise of the world so the man could concentrate on the miracle that was manifesting. I don't know who you might need to get out of your ear today so that you can be opened to your healing, be open to your miracle. There might be somebody that needs to be blocked on Facebook or at least snoozed for 30 days. That's a miracle worker that snoozed for 30 days. There might be somebody you need to unfollow on Instagram. Who needs to get out of your ear so that you might be opened to hear what God is saying? Then the text tells us that Jesus spat on his hand and touched the man's tongue. And then he sighed, he prayed, he said, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And the man's tongue was loosed and he started to speak. Friends, it reminds me of how God breathed God's very spirit into us and then we breathed and became a living thing. Jesus took from his mouth, put to that man's mouth, literally saying, if you want to be made well, you need what's in my mouth in your mouth. If you want to be made well, you need the promises of God in your mouth. You need blessings, not curses, in your mouth. Here you go. You need God's word and God's praise constantly on your tongue. Friends, we have a chance today to be opened like that man to the word, open to the possibilities of God's crumbs of goodness filling us up. We have a chance to be open to the sufficiency of God's grace, to the power of Christ at work in each of us. We have a chance to be open to what might be possible if you got up off your mat, got on your knees, sought God like this woman, or allowed yourself to be found by God like these men. Friends, we have a chance to be opened to a miracle, open to abundant life. And I wonder, are we really open to wellness? What would it look like for you to be made whole, made well? What will you have to do? You don't have to come to the altar to pray about your high blood pressure. You might put the salt down. Yeah. Amen. Lay off the pork rinds or the bacon. Amen. If you want to be made well. I'm in my business, not yours. My blood pressure ain't high, but I do like some pork skins. Okay, guilty. If we want to be made well, we don't have to stretch out about our diabetes. We might just get up and take a walk, which they say 30 minutes of walking works in your body the same way as your medication. What will be required of us? What are we gonna have to do if we wanna be whole? That's just physical wholeness. But if we wanna be well in our mind, in our spirits, if we want our families whole, like that woman that came begging for crumbs, if we want the church to be made well and whole, what will we need to do? The good news is whatever it is we need is at the table. As we come today remembering Christ's sacrifice, we have to remember that this meal isn't just about looking back at what Christ did, but here as we remember, we are remembered. We are put together again, rearranged by God as the body of Christ so that we might go forth and be like Christ in the world for the glory of God. As we make our way to the table, we may have to push through what the world is saying about us because we're Canaanites. We might have to push through and ignore the disciples, the church folk who are talking about you because they don't know your testimony. As we make our way to the altar, we might have to be patient when Christ is being silent. We might have to be tested as we push through to the table. We might have to trust the sufficiency of the scraps. And all of this builds great faith, crummy faith, so that we might overcome and withstand the crumminess in the world. Friends, maybe our house isn't like this lady's house. Maybe it's not demons or spirits running rampant in there. Maybe the thing that brings you to the table today is that you're weary, you're worn out from injustice in the world or oppression or inequity that gets passed down like an awful inheritance. Whatever it is that causes brokenness in us and in our world, as Methodists, we have vowed to resist it. In our baptismal vows, when we affirm our vows in confirmation, we say that we will resist evil and injustice in whatever forms they present themselves in the world. Sometimes our resistance, our wellness will look like persisting in prayer, being the voice for the voiceless, simply smiling at someone that the world tells you you should ignore or turn away from. Our resistance, our wellness might look like keeping hope alive. Our book of discipline outlines the general rules of the church. Now, I know we like to use it as a tool against each other. So those rules are in there, the do's and don'ts. But it tells us what the church is really called to do. We've explored them before. Our general rules are we will do no harm. No harm. We will do good. And we will stay in love with God. The founder of Methodism, John Wesley, suggests that to do those things, we have to commit ourselves to public worship, to private prayer, ourselves and with our families. We have to commit ourselves to the ministry of the word, listening to the preached word and searching the scriptures for ourselves. We have to commit ourselves to fasting, to abstinence, not just from chocolate, come on, not just alcohol or whatever it is, that fasting from the harmful things that we do, abstaining from being the type of evil in the world that we say we resist. Friends, we have to know that our discipleship, these things he offers us to stay in love with God, it's not a la carte. It's not Golden Corral, amen? You don't get to pick and choose and skip over some things. Yes, I worship, but I ain't finna to be reading the scripture. I'm not going to Bible study. We don't get to pick and choose. Yeah, girl, I'm going to see you at church Sunday. I'm going to get my communion. We partake of the Lord's Supper, but somebody call on you to pray. Pastor, you know I don't pray out loud. It's not a la carte. All of these things help us to be the people that God has called us to be. Do you really want to be made well? Do you want to be opened? This is what it looks like. These things give us a glimpse of what being spiritually well, individually and as a church, can look like. The prophet Micah would add that a well church acts justly, loves mercy, and walks humbly with their God, walks wherever God leads us to serve whoever God leads us to. Jesus would add that a whole church, a well church, loves God with all their heart and mind and soul and strength, and loves their neighbors as themselves. Church, is there anything about us as a body of Christ that needs to be healed? Is there any ministry that's not well, not whole? And before you decide to come and tell me about them, I hear Christ asking each of us, what are you willing to do to make it whole? Do we want to be made well, or are we too comfortable on our mats by the pool or on our pews? Are we too comfortable complaining about what someone else did or didn't do? Do we want to be open today to the possibilities of what our God, for whom nothing is impossible, will do? Do we want to be opened as we pray, as Christ taught us to pray? Give us this day our daily bread, our daily crumbs, even, Lord. As we pray, as Christ prayed, let thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Friends, have we truly been open to what it means for the kingdom to come, and what that is going to require of each and every one of us? Will it require us to shut out the noise of the world as Jesus stops and unstops our ears? Will it require us to ignore what is said about us? Will it require us to get in our mouths what Jesus has in his mouth, to even have the mind of Christ, as scripture says? You know, I was at a conference this week, and one of the presenters was talking about the power of thought. They said that we have 40,000 thoughts a day. Now, don't ask me how you measure how many thoughts we have. That's science beyond me. But they said that 80% of our thoughts all day long are negative. Oh, I'm late. I'm going to miss the light. They not going to miss. It's going to be negative all day long. And just so I wouldn't forget it, when I was waiting on my flight, I was reading a magazine and read an article that said 80% of our thoughts every day are negative. I said, I heard you, Lord. Are we willing to have the mind of Christ? The word says, let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. What are we willing to do to be made well? Can we simply start with how we think and how we talk about ourselves and each other? Are we willing to wrestle like Jacob for that miracle, wrestle even with ourselves to get in alignment with what God wants until we want what God wants? Are we willing to wrestle until we can come to the table to be opened to the possibility that although we be unworthy, although we be unworthy to even gather up the crumbs under God's table, the table has still been prepared for each and every one of us. Come, feast. There are crumbs aplenty, and they have the power to make you well. Come, feast. There are crumbs aplenty, and they are sufficient for our every need. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.